Good evening.
Is that working?
That's working. We're supposed to have this turned on. There it goes. Because I'm all over the place sometimes. Good to have y'all come hear me tonight. I don't know how many of our regulars will be back since I preached a couple weeks ago. But I'm back again. They asked me. Let me tell you a little bit about the reason I'm up here. And it doesn't have a biblical background, but the reason I'm up here does. When I was in the service, I was in the infantry. We went to the firing range weekly. Most of us did anyway. We had to qualify with our weapons. We were being trained for combat to defend our United States government, to defend our freedoms that we're fighting for today in Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran. As an infantryman, I had to be prepared with my weapon and qualified my weapon at all times. Firing range looked something like this. The soldiers being on the firing line, a firing position, and you shot down your lane. This guy shot these targets. This guy shot these targets, and so forth on down the line. Most people didn't like to go to the range because when you came back from the range, you had to clean your weapon. And it had to be spotless before it was turned back in. Most people didn't like to go to the range. It got to where when the first sergeant came out in front of the formation and asked who was going to the range, I was always the first one up in my hand. It got to where he asked, who besides Trimble is going to the range this morning? Because I always went. Matter of fact, I loved it so much, this is me in the middle. I loved it so much, they gave you more ammunition than you needed. I loved it so much, I shot this guy's target. Let me shoot it again. I don't usually miss. I shoot this guy's target next to me, or this guy. They picked up on that. They got to where they gave me their ammo. And if I knew they could shoot their weapon, if I knew they could hit their targets, I didn't care to shoot. I loved it. I was shooting a gun for free. I loved that. It got to where I was shooting their targets, my targets. The next guy would give me his ammo. Now, these are range markers. When it really got bad, I was shooting plumb out of range over here. They put a stop to that real quick. But I'll tell you what that did. I'll tell you what that did right there. These guys didn't have to clean their weapon. And I got real, real, really good. Those were timed targets. They were pop-up targets. They didn't stay there and give you time. They were pop-up targets, and when you hit them, they went down. I got really good. That's why I'm standing before you today. I'm working on getting really good. You grasp where I'm coming at? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to get really, really good with this. If they keep asking me to get up here, maybe other folks will have to clean their weapons and I'll have a calling. I appreciate y'all coming to hear me tonight. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That was scripture that Nathan read before I got up here. I'm trying to let my light shine the best I can. Sometimes the old devil blow it out. But we know who relied. It's up to us to set up on a hill with the light. Not put it under a bushel. Not put it under a basket. Teaching. Preaching. The gospel. It's a command, not a suggestion. What are you teaching? Mark 16, 15 and 16 is the Great Commission. We all know the Great Commission. Jesus had been crucified and risen and appeared to the disciples and many, many folks and was fixed to be ascended into heaven. And he gave the Great Commission to his 11 just before his ascension. And he said unto them, go preach ye into all the world and preach and teach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. It's a command that's been put on me. It's a command to be put on every Christian to share the gospel. It's not something to keep to yourself. We're all teachers, one way or the other, through example, through study, through the very fact that you came to church tonight. Somebody knew that you were coming to church. You set a good example. You were teaching. There was a passion play. Most of you know what a passion play is. They had it over here in the foothills of the Ozarks. It's the trial, the crucifixion of Christ. And the guy that portrayed Christ had the cross on his shoulder. And he was struggling up the street, dragging it. And before this heckler came, to heckle Christ, I don't know, but one of the people on the side said, oh, you're too fat to be Jesus. What are you doing? They should have got somebody else. Well, he got a little aggravated. He went over there and punched the guy out. He went back and picked up his cross and went up the hill to Golgotha, and the play actor, and they crucified him. Afterwards, the director come to him and said, look, said, we can't have you playing Jesus and you fighting with the people that come to see us. He said, I'll do better. I'm sorry, that guy's got on my nerves. The next evening, he's dragging the cross up the road. Who's in the crowd? Old Faithful. Hey, you don't look like Jesus. Your hair ain't long enough. He throws the cross down and goes over there and piles in on him, bam, bam, bam. Well, the director, after that, says, look, you're fired. We can't have this. You're portraying Jesus, a man of sorrow, a man of forgiveness. And here you are, fist fight. Look, I need this job, he said. I need this job bad. I won't let him get to me again. I'll hold my temper. I won't let him get to me again. The next evening, he's dragging the cross up the road, up the street to Golgotha. Who's in the crowd? The guy with no teeth and a black eye. Heckling him. He looks over at him. He says, you wait till after the resurrection. So he did find a little bit of Jesus somewhere. At least he could put off his anger. But what was he teaching? He was teaching eye for eye and tooth for tooth. See, he was teaching. When he threw the cross down and went over to fight the guy, he was teaching. Everything you do teaches somebody something. Negative or positive. The guy lost his job after that last fight, by the way. Stepping on toes. A couple of Sundays ago, I preached on Sunday night. And I'm not going to call any names, but one of the ladies, as she went out the door, said, I stepped on her toes. And I didn't tell her, but I won't tell her now. I'm sorry. I was aiming for your heart. If I could say one thing tonight, just one, out of the 75 people here, if I could make one spark in someone's life, they say I'm putting jewels in my crown is what the Bible teaches me. I'm trying to share the gospel. I'm trying to help a brother or sister along. Lessons taught. This morning I got on the way to church. As I pulled out of my driveway, one of my neighbors had a big tent set up in their yard. Sort of unusual. I mean, I observed. Well, then I got to see kids running around with BB guns shooting birds in the trees on Sunday morning, and us with empty seats. That saddened my heart. As I come closer to town, when I got out here to the city park, it was a beautiful day. Moms and dads had their kids out there playing basketball, pushing them in the swing, playing at Kids Town, playing in the dirt. When there's churches, empty, all over Prince County and all over Boone. They take care of them in the morning when they get them up. They wake them up, make sure they get their bath. They feed them, make sure they eat a balanced meal. They send them to school, they make sure they get their books. When they come in from school, if you got your homework, get on your homework. Get your homework, it's important. If they fall and scrape their knee, they doctor their knee. If they get hurt, they take them to the doctor. They make them eat supper, they make them eat a balanced meal. They make them use personal hygiene. But when it comes Sunday morning, where they at? No concern for their soul. No concern for their soul. I don't understand. Yes, maybe I do understand. The devil is alive and well, folks. The devil is alive and well. I noticed the other day, I was on my bicycle. Some of y'all have dodged me around town a few times. A man got out of his truck and he got a son out of it at one of the daycares. He set his son down, 4 or 5 years old. He grabbed a couple bags and he must have been in a hurry. You know how life is. Ain't we all rushed? Everybody rushed. You could tell that when 7 o'clock, when 6 o'clock came and people were still coming in. We're all rushed. He set his son down, grabbed a couple bags out of the truck and headed to the daycare. Well, the little fella was trying his best to keep up. He would walk and take big old strides, keep trying to keep up with Daddy. And directly he'd stop because he'd get behind and take off running. I stopped and watched that. It struck my heart. You know, I run from God for several years. I ran from Him. But you know, He never let go. God won't run from you. God won't let go of your hand. God won't run off and leave you. Observe the things that go around you every day. Observe the things you see. There's a lesson there. I know most of you probably have seen the guy on TV. And when I seen him the first few times, I thought it was a joke. And I've seen him in several movies, several different movies. He's standing on the street corner with a big billboard sign, front and back. The end is near. Jesus is coming. Repent. The end is near. What a great job. What a good job that would be to stand and proclaim the gospel every day to somebody. At first you think when you see that guy on the TV set, they portrayed him as a radical. He might have been a little radical. He was trying to share the gospel with somebody. Do we do that? Do we share the gospel? A couple weeks ago, we had a pop quiz. No grades, no test papers, just some things that I was trying to put on your heart to get in the habit of doing. You've had 2 weeks. I want to retest you. Not because I'd like for something to talk about. I had 5 different sermons planned for tonight. These questions kept coming back up. And I'm going to ask them to you again. Basically the same questions. In the last two weeks, have you prayed for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Have you prayed for your brothers and sisters right here in this congregation at West Moon? Now that's the question. That was number one question I asked you last time. I'm asking you, in the last 2 weeks, since I put it on your heart to do that, since I asked you to do that, have you done that? Have you prayed for a brother or sister that don't make it to every service? Have you prayed for someone that's struggling? In the last 2 weeks, did you pray for those who don't know Christ? In the last 2 weeks, how many times did you pray for the sick and the shut-ins? 2 weeks, 14 days. In the last 2 weeks, how many times did you visit the sick and the shut-in? There's 2 nursing homes within walking distance of here. There's a hospital at the end of this road. Were there sick amongst us that's not here tonight, that wasn't here this morning? Did you call and check on them? You offer prayer up in their name? Did you share the gospel with anybody the last 2 weeks? Sure, you brought your spouse, you brought your kids or your grandkids, but did you share the gospel with a stranger these last 2 weeks? Yesterday at Walmart, I'm big on storytelling. Yesterday at Walmart, I was standing in the line at Ronald McDonald's up at Corinth in the Walmart store. And I got to see my bracelet. It's got a cross on it. I never had seen him before. He asked me, said, can I bother you for a minute? I said, where'd you get that at? I said, well, my daughter got it for me for Christmas. I said, I wear it every day. I said, I think she got it at the Christian bookstore down here on Harper. He thanked me, walked off. I was in line. I was waiting on my food. Don't know why. I turned around and looked. I seen him talking to his wife, had met him, and they was walking down back toward the front of the store, and he was telling her about the bracelet. I turned right back around to Walmart, to McDonald's, and something made me turn around again. I turned around again, and she had turned around looking at me. And I seen they had a 3 or 4 year old child in the buggy. I just sort of grinned and turned right back around, waiting on my quarter pounder and fries. I turned around one more time and they were nearly out of sight. And I got out of line and I run them down and I invited them to church tonight. They're not here. I'm speaking at Corinth on Thursday night. I'd invited them Thursday night. Don't know whether they'll be there or not. Boy, it sure did feel good to run them down. I ain't much on running either. But it sure made me feel good to share Jesus with somebody. Have you shared Jesus with somebody? In the last 2 weeks, have you shared the Lord with your peers? In the last 2 weeks, did you walk a walk as Christ walked so that others might be drawn to Him through your actions? Did in the last 2 weeks, did you show that love for your fellow man that Christ had for you? In the last 2 weeks, were your children drawn closer to the Lord through your walk with Him? In the last 2 weeks, was your world changed because you are a Christian? In the last 2 weeks, was the Godhead, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, were they lifted up through your actions because you was walking with Christ? In the last 2 weeks, did you live on the foundation of love? You remember the foundation. As guys up at Walmart, I passed around 20, 25 DVDs of my sermon. And every once in a while, some of them will come by the sporting goods counter and tell me they're working on the foundation. Makes me feel good. Makes me feel good. If you're not, are you ready to fix your foundation? In the last 5 services we've had, that would be all of them from Sunday night 2 weeks ago. Have you done your part? Did you sing with the Spirit with understanding? Did you pray when heads were bowed and we were led in prayer? Did you worship when the Bible class was going on? Did you study your Bible for the Bible study? Did you take part if you were asked to take part? In the last 2 weeks, did you put God first in your life? Is God number one? These questions sound familiar? I asked the same questions a couple weeks ago. Have you worked on them? How's the test coming? How's your score doing? In the last 2 weeks, this last was true or false? Be honest with yourself. I'm not asking you for an answer. God's not even asking for an answer. Answer yourself. Answer this for yourself. In the last 2 weeks, did you serve God? True or false? Are you serving? Or is it just a habit? just the run-of-the-mill, everyday routine that you go through. One of the last things I asked for you to do a couple weeks ago was ask you to pray for me, that I stay grounded in the truth, that I keep my foundation of love strong. Somebody prayed for me. I could feel it. I don't know if there's 75 people praying for me. Maybe after tonight there will be. Life's a struggle. Old devil chases me daily. The person that says that they don't have a problem, they don't have struggles, that they don't have trouble in their life, they've got one problem. They've got a problem with lying. Because everybody has troubles. Everybody has struggles. Some are more relevant and prevalent than others. Everybody has struggles. If you don't, look out. If it can hit you right between the eye, big time. The devil wants each and every one of us here not to be here. They want us to be complacent and sit in our seat and not take part in the service. That's what he wants. He's got a bunch of them. Life's a struggle. I pray for each and every one of you. I pray for the ones that are not here. Pray for me. Simple, short lesson. A lot of the same things that I talked about 2 weeks ago. Hope you're doing better on your test this time. And it's for you to grade yourself. It's like an open book test. There's no score. Just some things that I wanted to put on your heart. The Bible heart. There's a simple plan. There's a simple law. A plan of becoming a Christian. You must hear the word. You must believe the word. You must repent and confess and be baptized for the remission of sins. After that, you grow in Christ. It's a growing process. Don't nobody start out in the pulpit. Don't nobody start out leading prayer. Don't nobody start out after they become a Christian. It's a growing process. We all need to grow together. How do we grow? Through study, through sharing, through fellowship with each other. If you're a Christian, and you've sinned publicly and brought reproach upon the church, if you just need the prayers of the congregation to strengthen you, if you'll come to the front and sing our invitation song, we'll do that. Thank you.